I'm talking to Brian Palman. He's an artist with an exhibition in the Fibsborough Fizz Fest. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Good to see you.
Before we talk about the art, can I ask about the man?
Well, I'm originally an American, and I've lived in Ireland for 30 years, and I am an artist and a musician.
Mm-hmm. Were you an artist when you came to Ireland?
Well, yes. I applied for a scholarship to the NCAD in 1977. And at the time, they gave a foreign student scholarship, which I was awarded. And I've made my life here ever since.
And what part of New York, or can you hear me, what part of America are you from?
Well, I'm from near New York. I'm Connecticut, yeah. I'm based in New York when I'm over there, but I'm from Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay, I'll ask you the cliche question. Is it love that brought you to Ireland and kept you here?
Well, originally, I would have to say yes. I had the good fortune to have been brought to Ireland on a week holiday as a kid with my parents, mm-hmm. Americans of Irish descent, who came to Ireland, and I must admit I fell in love with the place, and I waited my whole life to come back. And as soon as I graduated high school, I got a scholarship to the NCAD in Dublin, and I've been here ever since.
Now, talking about Brian Palm, the artist now, and you specifically your subjects, tell me about those.
Well, when I arrived in Dublin in the late 70s, it was a city which was in a state of flux, and I used the camera to document much of the changes taking place, urban renewal, all of the things that went with the history of Dublin in the 70s into the 80s. Now, the photographs that I took, I guess I made about 10,000 negatives, and they remained sort of in a drawer for a long time. And little by little, I printed them and used them as the basis of my work, which is now... been the basis of my work for 30 years. I was very fortunate to be in Ireland and Dublin at a time when not many people were interested in documenting the city of Dublin.
Okay, so you can both an objective and a subjective eye over the city. So are the changes you've seen over the 30 years, do you approve?
Mixed feelings, but yes, I would approve. I think life is essentially better, and I would like to say, yes, your point is exactly right. As an outsider, I had an outsider's view, but I did feel, because I had a lot of friends and I was involved in society in Dublin, the independent artists, the independent, the living art, the RHA Academy, I always worked very hard to be sort of a force in the art world in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I also play a bit of music, so my day job was at night, and my night job was painting.
One supports the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So can I ask you about some of the paintings that you have here? I've just had a quick look around some of them, and they're absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
It's a pity we're not on TV, but this is my favorite. Can you tell me about that?
Wendy City. Wendy Kelly was a little neighborhood kid where I lived. I lived for many years on Percy Place on the south side, just in near Balls Bridge. And Wendy was one of the local kids. I used to take photographs, a lot of street photography of children and old people. And sometimes the kids would say, "Oh, you know, there's no film in the camera, mister." And I said, "Well, hang on, there is film," as opposed to now, where every kid has been photographed a thousand times. At the time, the street kids used to not believe that I would actually waste film taking their picture. And I think that says something about the time, that the children actually did not feel that they were worthy of being the subjects of a simple photograph. Now, I've been in touch with Wendy 30 years later, and she has told me that the only photographs of her youth, of her childhood, were taken by me, an American art student, because I just felt... I do think many people have, or many artists have, a love of the romantic love of the decrepit and the kind of, you know, broken down buildings. Mm-hmm. But I just tried to use the camera to document my environment, and then I used the photographs in paintings later. And by the way, along the way, I made some remarkably good pictures almost by chance.
I have to say, one of the questions I'm going to ask you, because I didn't believe it was 30 years later, and it looks so fresh, but was that a deliberate pose you gave her behind the pillar? Because it's wonderful, wonderful, with the eyes and part of the face missing.
Well, thank you. What I loved about that was the sort of fragile vulnerability with the same, at the same time, combined with her penetrating gaze. She's a little kid, and I'm an adult, and yet she is looking very directly at the camera, very confident, self-confident, and firm, and yet she's holding the pillar as a sort of protection. She's hiding at the same time that she's very definitely addressing the viewer. Mm-hmm. To me, that has become one of my little personal icons. I see a lot of my own, if you will, autobiographical history in the little images that I've used. Kids running amid the rubble and the snow. Mm-hmm. I see it as a kind of a document of my society, which was Dublin at the time and at Dublin today. And I also see it as a personal, almost autobiographical vocabulary that I use to describe my own feelings about what went on and where I fit into it.
And in this time, 2011, is it hard for an artist to make a living in Dublin?
Yes.
Yeah. Short answer.
Yeah, it is. Things have changed. I was very fortunate in that I got into the auction houses during the boom period. So I sold a lot of work in various auction houses in Ireland and group shows and in the Academy. And I've had quite a few solo exhibitions. But since the collapse of the world economic order, if you will, there is no doubt that Irish art and art internationally has stopped selling at the level that it had been. Now, there will always be the sort of, if you will, blue chip, the Jack B. Yeats's, and there will always be that aspect of art. But the contemporary art, that is artists who are still alive and still trying to make a living, they have taken, we all have taken a hit in this economic climate, because essentially we produce a product which is a luxury item, a piece of art, and someone needs a place to put it and hang it and have a reason to buy it. Now, I've been particularly fortunate to sell work during that period for far more than I ever paid for a painting, I'll be honest. I've sold my work for far more than I've spent collecting. But having said that, now that can I say now that the shit has hit the fan? we all have to do different things. I know we spoke earlier about music. I also have worked as a musician to support myself, and the music industry has been hit badly by the economic shit. So to me, an artist needs to make art and show art. I mean that very seriously from the bottom of my heart. If I have all this work in my studio or leaning against the wall, it is colored pigment on a surface. As soon as someone looks at it, it becomes art. And that's a magic, almost alchemy, that I find very exciting. As soon as someone can see it, it has
It gives it life.
It gives it life, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, it's a wonderful exhibition, I must say, and the paintings jump out, and it's amazing. I can't believe that one is over 30 years old. But, Brian, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.